Hallelujah. What is the title of our message this Lord's Day? God is still in the restoration business. Anybody need a little restoring today? All right, amen. I got my hand waving. Praise God. Amen. Today I want to pick up where Pastor Rick left off as he ended his series last week on King David. And I do want to remind those who are in youth worship, I don't want to forget you. You are now dismissed. And those are from ages 6 to 12. And so you all are dismissed. And nursery is dismissed as well. I think most of them have already gone. Amen. Youth worship, praise God for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to pick up where Pastor Rick left off as he ended his series on King David and the consequences of his choice to sin by committing adultery and then murder and then by staging a failed cover-up. And as Pastor Rick led us through that series, the pain, the suffering, the humiliation, the anguish, the sorrow that resulted for not only David, but for his family and for the entire nation. And that's where I want to pick up today. He left his sermon with John 10:10. And it reads, the Lord Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, have it to its full. Now, we saw in Pastor Rick's series that David missed out on some of that abundant life, amen, that God had in store for him. But saints, God wants you and I to experience life to its fullest. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. I want you to just touch your neighbor next to you and say, Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Amen. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So we're going to be focusing on living the abundant life. But before we begin, let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the honor of your presence in our midst. And we praise you, Lord God, you who have made heaven and earth by your great power and your outstretched arms. And we know there is nothing too hard for you. So, Lord God Almighty, Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, we thank you and we praise you that we're reminded in Romans 10 that you said, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you for your holy word this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak now, for we, your servants, are listening. We, your children, are listening. We, your sheep, are listening. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be just hearers of your word, but that we would go forth doers of your precious word, that you might receive much honor and glory in and through our lives, and that others would come to know you through us. And we thank you for that privilege and for that joy. And in the mighty name of Jesus, all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen. If you would turn with me to our sermon outline inserted in our bulletin. And Pastor Kelly read for us John chapter 10. But I want us to move down to verse 7. And I want us to read those three verses aloud together. Together, saints. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. Amen. Well, saints, John uses many images in his gospel. But my favorite one is that of Jesus as a shepherd. And like a shepherd, Jesus is concerned about the welfare of his sheep, the care and concern of his sheep. And the shepherd loves the sheep, Scripture tells us. And Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now notice, saints, he didn't call himself King Jesus. He didn't call himself President Jesus. He didn't call himself Commissioner Jesus. He didn't call himself Elder or Deacon Jesus. He didn't call himself Chairman Jesus. Amen. But he called himself a shepherd. He called himself a servant, a caretaker, a watchman. Jesus called himself a shepherd. And what really stands out in my mind is Psalm 100, as Pastor Kelly so joyfully read it for us this day. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. That's who we are. And whether we know it or not, saints, we depend on God for everything. Everything. Couldn't blink our eyes, couldn't turn our heads. We depend on God for everything. And just as a shepherd watches over the sheep, so does God watch over God's children. Well, saints, in this passage, there are two caretakers mentioned in this account, the good shepherd and the hired hand. And we see in this passage, the hired hand had no connection with the sheep. The hired hand always thought of himself first and then the sheep last. So if there was a wolf that came and devoured a sheep, or if a sheep got lost, the hired hand would just say, oh, well, you know, that's too bad. You know, that's the way it is. That's the hired hand. But then, praise God, there is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is the owner of the sheep, saints. And the good shepherd has a special relationship with the sheep. The good shepherd loves the sheep. Now, most owners didn't own a lot of sheep. For there to be 100 sheep, that was a huge, huge flock. Most flocks were no larger than 10 to 20 sheep. And sheep were like valued pets. They were like family. There was nothing about the sheep that the good shepherd did not know. For example, the individual sheep in the flock looked like they were all the same to an untrained eye, but not to the shepherd. The shepherd knew each sheep because of their peculiar traits. How many know today you have some peculiar traits? Don't try to deny it. We all got some peculiar traits about us, all right? All right. Well, God knows every peculiar trait that we have, amen, and loves us with all of that. Well, the shepherd was explaining to a friend, and they said, well, you see that one over there? Well, that one, it's got a mark under its eye, so I call him Punchy. And you see that one over there? The toes sort of come in, so I call that one Pigeon. You notice that one over there? Well, it's got a small piece torn out of its ear. I call it Bojo. I call that one Bruno. I call that one Chef. I call that one Tweedlebum. I call that one Bip. I call that one Bob. And could just go on and name each one. Say, Jesus knows us by name. Oh, he knows us by name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. He hears every thought, and he sees each tear that cries. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, a shepherd, in order to know his sheep and to care for them, the shepherd lived among them. The shepherd has to be close to them. And saints, Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth to be right with us, to be close to we, the sheep. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In fact, the good shepherd became a sheep. Hallelujah. The good shepherd took on our nature, saints, and lived just like us, except without sin. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And that's why Jesus is the good shepherd. Oh, he loves us. He knows our peculiar traits. Hallelujah. And he watches over us and loves us with much concern. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. But, everybody say but. But the enemy, like a wolf, the enemy, like a thief, will always, everybody say always, always try to rob God's children. And the text today says that the thief comes always and only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why Peter reminds believers to be sober, because the devil never stops looking for a chance to steal from us and even enlist us to try to steal from others. Let me ask you this today. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? All right. See about every hand going up. It's frustrating to have something stolen, something that you value taken. Well, most of us have had CDs stolen, money, items of clothing, jewelry. And occasionally the stolen item is larger. Some of us have had automobiles. Anybody had a car stolen? Okay. It could even get bigger than that. Anybody had a career stolen? Just a career. It could even get bigger than that. Husbands and wives get stolen. All right. All right. People will steal anything these days. They will even steal the aluminum siding off your house. Yes, they will. Stealing has become an art form that people steal paintings. I can remember around Christmas time in the Collinwood area on 152nd, there was an art gallery, and it was robbed. And they went in and they stole, you know, the pieces of art. And she was on the television. She was crying. She said, "We stayed in this community so that this community would have something so beautiful." She said, "Please bring it back. Please bring it back. Please, please." People steal paintings. They steal tin cans. They steal copper pipes. They will steal your laundry out the laundromat if you go across the street to get you a soda pop. You come back, your clothes may not be in that dryer. They may not. Now, you can buy you a pit bull or any other kind of bull to try to guard your property. Before you know it, even your pit bull may be gone and the pit bull's house gone with it. That's just how bold people are. People have gotten so bold that they drive trucks up to ATM machines and try to take ATM machines right out the bank. Just try to cut them right on out. People will steal your computer, then they will steal with your computer. People will steal your password, they'll steal your credit. Oh, they'll steal your identity. As one everything, as one couple said, he said, people will steal your medicine, your syringes. They'll steal your aspirins and your leftover Viagra too. And she said, "Shown up, shown up." And then she went on to say, and people will steal your wigs and your fingernails too. So you better have them glued on good, because you ain't looking, your fingernails will be gone. Amen. Thank you, Peter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People will steal not only your trash can, they'll steal your trash too. That's why they tell you to buy these shredders now, so that you don't have your any ID or any social security number. Shred your trash, because people are stealing trash these days. They will steal the gas out of your car. They'll steal toilet tissue. So face it, saints, if it could be done, people would steal the wet out of water. Yes, they would. If it could be done, Eula. If it could be done, they would steal the white out of rice, even. If it could be done, they'd steal the sweet out of sugar, Renee. If it could be done, they would steal the hot out of fire, if it could be done. People will steal. And it hurts when someone steals something from us. I shared with you all before when I was a student at St. Louis University, and it was very lean money. And I went for my weekly little grocery shopping, and I was looking at those chicken breasts, and I turned around, and my purse wasn't in the cart. Went to the manager. They ended up finding my purse empty behind the paper towels. They didn't even leave my ID. They left nothing. They just took everything. And don't you know, I walked out that store with not one morsel of anything. They just said, "We're sorry, too bad." And so I said, "Oh." And so I was like on a forced diet that week. I did eat. The Lord provided. I did not go hungry didn't eat like I usually ate, but I ate, you know, and I did all right. The Lord provided. The Lord provided because I didn't have anything to provide for myself. So it does hurt when someone steals from us. It hurts when somebody steals something from us. But it's even worse, saints, to wake up one day and to see that the devil has stolen our thirst for spiritual growth. Oh, that's a bad day to wake up and know that the devil has stolen our thirst. The devil has stolen the joy of our salvation. That's when we realize that we don't pray like we used to. We don't worship like we used to. We don't praise like we used to. We don't have God's presence like we used to. We don't have the faith like we used to. We had it, but the devil stole it. The devil just could stole it right out or through the world or through our own fleshly desires. But if you've enjoyed that relationship with God and somehow lost it, my friend, you should join the rest of others who say, I know God is still in the restoration business, and Satan, you are a liar, and I claim God's abundant life for me. I want God's best for me. Says Jesus right now, warns us to be on guard for thieves who will try to rob us of what God has for us. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Would you just remind your neighbor one more time? Jesus wants us to enjoy abundant life. Hallelujah. And we can do that. We can enjoy the abundant life that God has promised. You see, someone may have closed the door on our faces at some point in our life because we were black, or because we were a woman, or because we were handicapped, or because we lived on the wrong side of the red line that they put on that map. You see, the devil stole our dreams one day. Maybe we didn't graduate from high school or for whatever school. Maybe our business failed, or maybe our career failed, or maybe a relationship failed, or somewhere in our personal life. And we're feeling very discouraged and without hope. Well, if the devil has stolen your dreams, it's time for you to get in a position like this and stare the devil down, all right? And say, devil, you a lie. I receive God's abundant life for me. I want and I'm going to get God's best. Now, saints, it's available. It is available. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. It's already been prophesied upon us, Joel 2:28, that we would dream dreams. Start dreaming again. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so excited today. So, yes, amen. Just take for an example, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They have electrified the nation. And I know it's because of one thing. They are helping people to dream again. Hallelujah. They are helping people to dream again. African Americans, we are dreaming again about possibilities. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And women, we are once again dreaming that barriers can be overcome. Yes, they can. Hallelujah. Saints, I tell you the truth, I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to see an African American or a woman be president in my lifetime. But you know what? Both Obama and Clinton, they are attempting what was thought to be impossible. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. And their dreams, their quest bubbles down to each of us. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, too many of us, however, have stopped dreaming. Too many of us have given up altogether. Maybe we once dreamed of starting a business or graduating from here or there or breaking the ceiling in some area. You know, maybe whatever, you know what your dream was. Even in the church, we see people without hope. People who have been broken because their dream or ambition has not yet been accomplished. Well, don't let the devil steal your dreams. You know anybody who is broken because the devil stole their dream? Well, my dad was one such a person. He was very bright, had a good job at the Timken Company, and he had faced a lot of racism and discrimination. And there came like a straw, my mother said, that seemed to have broken him. The last one was they had did the plans, the blueprint for a new home, and it was all approved. All they did was go in and sign it at the bank, and the bank was, yeah, come on in, we're ready. And when my mom and dad walked into the bank and saw that they were black, they were like, what? And so they went in the back, re-switched everything. They said, no, we're not gonna finance this house. No. Then they gave them this little tiny plan, and they went on with it. But my mother said my dad was very angry. He was very, very angry. And she said he changed. It was like the last straw for him that seemed to have broken his dreams. He gave up. It's like he just threw in the towel. Now, if you know the game of boxing, and when the towel gets thrown in, that means it's over. All right, it's over. And she said it was like he threw the towel in. And the choice that he made, it wasn't a good choice for him. It wasn't a good choice for us as a family. He began to depend more and more on alcohol to comfort him. And it wasn't good for us. And you know what? That wasn't God's plan for my dad. It wasn't God's plan for us. Amen. But Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus came that we might have victory even in the midst of our disappointments, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering. One of the songs that we sang today, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. You a lie, devil. Victory today is mine. Now, Saints television commercials, they claim that abundant life goes along with drinking beer, wearing a certain kind of tennis shoe, driving a certain kind of car, looking a certain kind of way. But Saints, we cannot find abundant living in a can or in a bottle, no matter what Puff Daddy says in those commercials. Oh no, we can't. We can't find abundant living in a pair of tennis shoes. We can't find it in a house or in a car. We can't find it in a capsule. We can't find it in a pill. We can't find it in marijuana. We can't find it in crack. We can't find it in any kind of drug, my friend. For you see, John 10:10 says that abundant living is only found in Jesus. Only found in Jesus. Only found in Jesus. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And through the devil's promises and pictures of fame and money and drugs, he steals, he kills, and he destroys people. But God's idea, hallelujah, is different. Oh, everybody say, but God. But God, hallelujah, but God's idea is different. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, there are some keys. Everybody say keys. There are some keys to living the abundant life. Now, one of the secrets to abundant living is service. Everybody say service. Service, all right. A lot of folk don't want to serve nobody. All right, they won't do for anybody but themselves. But if we love and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to love and serve other saints. Amen. Amen. And in serving others, we learn how to live the abundant life. Now, would you look with me at our sermon note sheet on the second page? And together, let's read number 3. And what does it say, saints? Abundant living is a total surrender to Jesus Christ. Abundant living is a total surrender to Jesus Christ. It is a lifetime commitment to love and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if a person is in good health and a person has a wonderful family, beautiful car, beautiful home, and you know what? They've got everything, yet never experiences a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He or she is not living. They are existing. Now, saints, I hate to say it, that some of us today are not really living. Some of us are just existing. We're like dried up dead bones in the valley. That's why some of us can't hardly praise the Lord. You say, all right, it's time to praise the Lord. And there we are, so cool. You can't lift an arm, can't lift our voice, can't clap. Miserable, amen. Now somebody said, anything dead ought to be buried. All right. And I'm mighty afraid that some of us need to be buried. All right. Amen. All right, saints, this leads us to number four. Let's read it together. Abundant living does not exist until we have completely committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. All right, saints, our commitment must compel us to say no to temptation and no to anything that is contrary to the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just paying lip service, because a lot of us say, yes, I love God, and for God I'll live, and for God I'll die. You know what? But it's only lip service. Because when it comes time to face the challenges of this life, when it comes time to stand our duty and to do our ministry, when it comes time to be fully committed, we're nowhere to be found. But saints, we either have to commit to the things of the world, or we have to commit to God. There is no in-between. Amen. Just remind your neighbor, there is no in-between. There is no in-between. There is no in-between. Either commit to the things of the world or commit to God. Jesus told the church at Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, because you are lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. Saints, I believe that the problem with us today is that the church has too many half-hearted Christians in it. Now, don't look around. Everybody keep facing forward. Don't anybody look around. Don't look around. All right. These Christians think they're getting away with their lack of commitment to God and to God's Word. But the Bible says that half-hearted Christians are lukewarm. And the Word says no one can serve two masters. He or she either has to hate the one and love the other, or either has to love the one and hate the other. And it's sad to say there's too many folks who think we're right with God, but we're lukewarm and don't even know it. Don't even know it. Well, some do, and maybe it's some don't. So friend, today, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are just really beginning to live. Hallelujah! Oh, you have eternal life while you're on this earth, and heaven, not hell, is your destination. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ, your life lacks the things that are here on earth, the best things, which are love, joy, peace, and you're headed toward eternal death. And it's your choice. Just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's your choice. It's your choice. You can either have abundant life, an eternal life here with heaven waiting for you, or you can have Satan's so-called good life with eternal death waiting for you just over the hilltop. It is your choice. It is your choice. All right, fifthly, saints, let's read together. Abundant living grows out of church membership. Now, saints, church membership is more than just having your name on the roll. Hallelujah. I want you to remind your neighbor, God don't need no part-time Christians. God don't need no part-time Christians. Amen. Church membership means we are part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God. Hallelujah. It means that we're faithful. Everybody say, we're faithful. We're faithful in service to our church. It means we experience fellowship. Fellowship, amen, with one another. It means giving of our tithes, our time and our talent. It means being involved in a mission. We've been made for a mission, amen? Being involved in the mission and ministries of our church and what it has to offer. Well, saints, Pastor Rick, Pastor Kelly, and myself, we hear it over and over and over again like a broken record. Many folks say, well, they belong to such and such a church when we're inviting them, and they haven't been to that church in years and years and years. They ain't even been inside that church. Oh, no, I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, I can't think of the pastor's name right now. I can't think of exact address. I can't think of none of that. Oh, we just hear that over and over and over. No, saints, God don't need no part-time Christians. All right, part-time Christians, they're not experiencing God's abundant life for them. Amen. We don't want to be part-time. All right, looking to number 6. Let's read that together. Abundant living means separating ourselves from the world. All right. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. Amen. You see, when we're born again, saints, there are some things that we just don't do. Amen. Amen. When you are full of God, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, when you are full of the things of God, my friend, you have a new walk, praise God. You have a new talk, amen. And you act differently. You listen to different music. Now, saints, we pastors have heard some of the ringtones on some of the cell phones right here in our church family congregation. All right. Some of those ringtones are not fitting for a child of God. They're just not fitting for a full-time child of God. Amen. Then we have called and heard different voice mail messages. And I'm like, I think I dialed the wrong number. That didn't sound right. I know I dialed the wrong number. I do it again. I hear the very same thing. I said, oh, what? Oh. All right. God don't need no part-time Christians. We need to be listening to different music, saints. And we also need to be drinking different beverages. We need to be thinking differently. As a child of God, you need to lay aside worldliness. Touch your neighbor, please. Remind him, neighbor, lay aside worldliness. Lay aside worldliness. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Saints, according to the word of God, anything that is not in line with the word of God is worldly. It's worldly. Yes, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be a part of its sin. We don't have to be a part of its rebellion, amen, that is in this world. Amen. Amen. Number 7, let's read that together. Abundant living means living your life according to God's word. Saying you can't follow God unless you go on God's way. All right. Have you ever tried to journey with someone who is going in the opposite direction of where you wanted to go? You know what? It is impossible. Amen. It's not possible. You must be going in the same direction in order to journey with someone. When you are going in the same direction, you are involved in the same things, and you see what matters the most the same, and you can journey then together. For the Bible says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? Hallelujah. Well, saints, it's time that church folk, everybody say church folk, church folk, quit walking with Mr. Beer. Quit walking with Mr. Malt Liquor. Quit walking with Mr. Wine Cooler. It's time, saints. It's time for church folk, everybody say church folk, church folk, to have a sit-in here of prayer instead of closing the bars down there in the flats or wherever. It's time for church folk, everybody say church folk. Church folk to be dancing up and down the aisles of this sanctuary. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Instead of dancing all over these nightclubs and bars. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, saints, God wants God's people to enjoy life. God wants us to have fun. How many know it's no more better fun in the world than being in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's so much fun. We just stay tired because it's just so much fun. And the fun that we have in the Lord is so good because when you wake up in the morning, you don't have a hangover. You don't be saying, woo, my head is, whoa. You don't have that when you're in the Lord. That's not the kind of fun God has for us. You see, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you have an everlasting high. Hallelujah! You don't have to keep getting a fix over and over because you have a spiritual high that you don't need to have to come down from. Amen. And that leads us to number 8, saints. Let's read that together. Abundant living is enjoying intimate fellowship with God. Intimate fellowship with God, saints, results from the spiritual disciplines in our lives. Prayer and Bible study being just two of those disciplines. Now take the Word of God for an example. Some people will grab a Bible and they'll just say, I know I'm supposed to read it, so I'm going to just read something. They just open up, put their finger on something, and they say, oh, and he went and hung himself. You better be careful. That is not the best way to do Bible study. Amen. Because Judas did go and do that. All right. You need to study the Bible in a diligent way, diligently reading and meditating on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Prayer being another spiritual discipline. Prayer is talking to God. If you really know the Lord, then you should be able to talk to the Lord anywhere, anytime, no matter what's going on. Hallelujah. They can't stop you from praying in school. You can pray all you want to in school. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'd go to the White House today and I'd tell President Bush, yes, for God I'll live and yes, for God I'll die. Hallelujah. And we need to be growing spiritually strong in the Lord, saints. But I hate to say it, saints, but there are some of us, even in our prayer life, we are just still back there. Like the prayers we learned as little bitty children, we're still praying. And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul. We're still praying those. We're not growing, saints. But when you're really in communion with God, when you're growing in the Lord Jesus, you can begin to sing that song, oh, God walks with me. And God talks with me and tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's the kind of communion, amen, and fellowship that we can get to. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Well, saints, how do we know that we are living the abundant life? Well, we'll see next that it's when we know that and we act upon the fact that our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, my sins have been forgiven. I praise you for that. Oh, Lord, that you have flung them as far as the east is to the west. And I thank you for forgiving my sins today. And because of that, saints, we should shine like the sun in this dark world on our mission for Jesus Christ, telling others that God has been good and what God has done for me, God can do for you too. Hallelujah. We should go from this place warning men, warning women, warning girls, warning little boys, telling them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. And look there at number 9. Saints, let's read that one together. We will also know that we're living the abundant life when we commune with God and put God's word first in everything. Oh, saints, when the world has forsaken us, when we're feeling alone, we can remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I'm your friend and I'll stick closer to you than a brother. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our lives, anybody felt like a flood has just come over you and you feel so overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Just remember, Jesus is saying, you can do all things through me. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the strength. So, saints, prepare for victory. High five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, prepare for victory. Prepare for victory. Whatever you may be facing, don't throw in the towel, but prepare for victory. It doesn't matter whether God fights the battle for us, whether God fights the battle with us, but know this, you shall have victory because the Lord has already guaranteed it. Hallelujah. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Now today you may be facing a time of trouble in your life. Well, the Lord said, in times of trouble, I will hide you in my pavilion. You may feel helpless today. Don't throw in the towel, because like David, he said, I'll lift my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Maybe you're feeling alone. Don't throw in the towel, because John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You might be feeling trapped with no way out. Don't throw in the towel, because the Lord can make a way out of nowhere. You might can't see it, but the Lord can make a way. Hallelujah. You might have a heavy load weighing down on your life today. Don't throw in the towel. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there right here on the altar. For Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may feel overwhelmed today. Don't throw in the towel, because the Lord says the one that overcomes shall inherit all things. Oh, don't give up. Just throw your hands up to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. I stretch my arms to you for no other help. I know. Hallelujah. Don't throw in the towel. Get ready to praise God. Hallelujah. Get ready to praise God. Scripture says that Israel praised the Lord for the victory that was on the way. High five your neighbor right now and say, it's on the way. It's on the way. Victory is on the way. It is on the way. Hallelujah. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. In good times, in bad times, when it's easy, when it's not, let the praises go up to the Lord. Oh, don't wait until the battle is over before I'll praise God when it's all over. No, praise God in the midst of it. Oh, praise God. I remember Barbara Collier. She was the founder of Cleveland Interfaith Choir. Just a wonderful saint of God. And she would always say, rejoice in the midst of it. Rejoice while you wait on God to answer. Go ahead and just do your Holy Ghost shout, because God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. God still hears and answers our prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And God has sent our Lord Jesus to command the outcome of our battle. The Lord is in command. Hallelujah. So shout. High five your neighbor and say, shout, neighbor. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Call on Jesus. Call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. Don't throw in the towel today, my friend. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need healing, salvation, whatever you need to be set free, the Lord Jesus can do it. And whom he sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And then you will be able to sing the words of that old song. I'm on the battlefield. For my Lord, oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Would you rise and conclude this message with me? Yes, I'm on the battlefield. For my Lord, oh yes, I'm on.